Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Andy, thanks for having us again. And I just want to say that I really appreciate this opportunity to take this uncomfortable conversation and hopefully get our community a little more able to have that so that they're better prepared and educated.
And I definitely feel we're bridging that gap because the feedback is really positive. People are asking a lot of questions and surprised to find that hospice is not really for, you know, the last week of life, that if you expand hospice for a longer period of time, you have plenty of opportunity to check things off of that bucket list. And the feedback has just been really incredible. We're excited for the community to open up where we can get back to doing some community events and public service addresses.
Right. We're going to start scheduling some times to get some people together once we can meet in slightly larger groups and really have a heart-to-heart answer specific questions for people. You know, on the radio, we try and answer some of these questions, but we're limited on time. So we are looking forward to setting those up. If you want to participate in one of those, give us a call, 435-477-6999, and let us know, and we will put together a schedule of when we're going to have those, and you can...
And we'll make sure that we send out like an email to let people know when those events are going to be. You can also go to our website at www.pathwayhospicecare.com, and all of these messages, these recordings are online and available.
Ooh,
there.
Those would be podcasts technically, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you're the technical guy, so yes, podcasts.
And technical.
Richard, can we get you a little closer, get that microphone a little closer to your mouth? Yeah, just want the sound quality to be good. Well, you guys talked about it. The uncomfortable, I guess is the right word, conversation about hospice. You know, I'm going through it a little bit with my parents, but it's a weird deal because you don't want it. It's almost like we would be admitting defeat if we were talking about hospice. You know, that's kind of the mindset of people going in. Oh, well, I guess it's over. We're getting hospice.
You know, Andy, that's really what we want to overcome is that stigma of hospice.
And it's there. It's real.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's real. And as long as we are open and to ourselves and honest with ourselves and we find out in advance, we know that our demise, I mean, we're born to eventually die one day,
that's
right?
That's true.
I mean,
my wife says it all the time. Well, we're all dying. But she said that all the time. I'm like, well, honey, not yet.
Right. But the truth is, I mean, it's the reality. Our bodies are going to shut down. But as long as we can have time to create beautiful memories so that our loved ones remember great experiences at the end, and it really doesn't have to be scary. I want to remind everyone, according to Medicare Medicaid standards studies, they have proven that statistically people who use hospice live 29 days longer, and when they use hospice combined with a robust palliative care program, they can live 2 months longer on average. So a lot of it is about creating hope and positive environments, something to look forward to. It's interesting as we watch some of our patients and develop these beautiful relationships with them. When their anxiety levels diminish, their quality of life increases, and they do better. They last longer.
Right. That's one of the myths we're trying to dispel, is that when you elect to enter hospice, you're not saying, okay, I'm ready to pass away. What you're saying is, I realize that there is nothing else that can be done medically to cure this.
Right.
And so now I want to live the best life I possibly can under these new circumstances. And they're harsh,
for as long as I can. I mean, let's be honest. As soon as you realize, and part of it's asking the doctors for their narrative and the plan of care to realize, quite often people don't even realize that there are no longer curative options available until they really are at the very end. And I personally feel, from my own experience, that that's really sad. It takes away the opportunity for loved ones to gather around you, for you to, again, check those things off of your bucket list to possibly when it's, you know, when it's necessary, maybe come to terms or reconcile with loved ones, family members, friends, but living your best, you know, quality of life, looking forward to just a different path.
I love those statistics that you give, that, that not only will it make your end of lifetime better, but longer, because I think a lot of it is about, you know, I had a friend who was a end-of-life chaplain. He would go to different care centers, and his whole job was to talk to people as they neared the end of their lives. And he said, to a person, every one of them, they didn't talk about all the money they'd made or all the great jobs they had or anything like that. They talked about the relationships that they've made and tried to keep going. And you guys, when you talk about Pathway and the caregivers that you guys provide, it's all about care. It's all about, really, you're providing an additional person that can help care for them.
And multiple different people. In fact, when the curative options are no longer available, and you're willing to accept for yourself. And sometimes it takes, you know, a little bit of time to realize, oh, no curative, what that means. But to let go and to accept the help, we send in a lot of people to help you. We can do a multitude of things. We can help you with housekeeping, with meal planning, with just the day-to-day errands and chores. But we also bring in, you know, massage therapists, and we do have the chaplains and the social workers, and we help you plan out the rest of your life for as long as it is. We get as involved as you'd like, and we, you know, allow you to write the end of your storybook the way you want it to be told.
Hospice is a little unique in that it's more expansive than any other medical opportunities available. Not only do we provide, you know, the entire medical team that comes in, but in addition to that, we do, through this program, focus on the social services part of that.
Right.
Dealing with those end-of-life issues, you know, even down to finding a mortuary and making those final decisions that need to be made. You're either going to be involved in that decision, or it's going to happen without your involvement.
Right.
And while it's an uncomfortable conversation, we get that. It's better to have it and to be done with it and to have the relief of knowing that it's taken care of.
So that it's not on your kids.
That's right. We also bring a spiritual component to that.
Nice.
Not necessarily a religious component, but we all have personal concerns and issues that we're trying to deal with. And however you deal with those, you will do better if somebody's there to support you in that. And that's what we do with a chaplain, is to try and support you in that path to, you know, spiritual comfort going forward.
You know, sometimes it is just having that conversation with someone. And sometimes it's more comfortable if it's somebody not related to you. It's really hard to tell your family, I'm concerned about this. I'm scared. I'm scared about what is going to happen, you know, when I pass or how I'm going to pass. You don't want to let your loved ones know that you have that fear. So it's really nice to have somebody outside of the family circle, somebody that you can really vent those concerns to that will help you work through it. Sometimes it's saying it out loud that is therapeutic.
Yeah, sometimes you can't talk to your kids or grandkids. You need to talk to someone else. Well,
right.
Put.
And if it is that other person that comes with no preconceived notions, no expectations, just the willingness to listen and to support you in what you have. You know, as a parent, I've grown up trying to be an example for my kids, and sure. I don't want them to see me in a situation of vulnerability.
It's true.
Or scared. You don't want your kids to see.
Dad's supposed to be macho man and invincible, right?
Right. And those are the things that make it very difficult. Now, there's all kinds of discussion we can have about it's okay to do that, but it's still hard. And so having, again, somebody who comes in and doesn't have that long-term relationship where you feel you have an obligation to, and you can just talk, and you can talk about your concerns and where you're at and how you want to move forward, that's a great opportunity to share your spiritual experience with somebody that you may have told your kids a dozen times, you know, those spiritual experiences. Tell it to somebody new, you know.
Very cool.
Get that joy of talking about it.
Now, Okay, we've talked about hospice care and palliative care and what it is. What about, like how do we know it's time? I obviously, a doctor might tell you, okay, you need this, but maybe we're not seeing a doctor regularly, or maybe we just have questions about it.
Honestly, doctors don't always tell you. Doctors get into the industry to be curative. It's a really hard conversation to have. And I believe that physicians recognize that some people may not want to know, and some people do. Ooh. Interesting story. Just yesterday, I was talking to my daughter that is in pre-med at SUU, and she's a very different personality than I am. And she said that her professor, who's also a physician that now teaches at SUU, said in one of her classes that if a doctor received an MRI and they saw that you had an aneurysm that was not operable, that there was nothing they could do about it, do you know what they would do? And the class was like, well, no, nothing. We wouldn't tell the patient.
Really?
We wouldn't address it. Now, for me, I thought, oh, that's awful. I would want to know. But the problem is, not everybody wants to know.
Right.
And
how do they figure that out, right?
Right.
Yeah, we're on the side of caution, right? Since there's nothing we can bring to solve this, why cause the anxiety for the patient?
Mm. But for me, I believe that if you know, and it is an individual choice, but if you know, you can make plans and come to terms with it, but so can your loved ones. They can, you know, say what they want to say. They can, you know, do what they want to do with you before that time comes. The one thing that is so, so important for people to understand, that you are your only and your best medical advocate. And we've talked about that before. You have to know the questions to ask. And if you don't know the questions to ask, call our office and we will help you talk through it. There's no obligation. We're just there to help. We want to inform the community and help the community be better educated. But all doctors, every time you go for a visit, have to do a narrative, which includes a plan of care. In that narrative, it will say things like what their expected likelihood of success if they offer a treatment or a surgery. Sometimes, and let's be honest, procedures are offered to you so that you continue to have hope, but the doctor knows that it's not likely to benefit you in any way.
Right.
Now, for me, I believe that the option should have been given to me because I don't want a procedure that's going to keep me in the hospital for 11 days with no hope of any benefit when those were 11 days that I could have had quality of life.
Yeah, if you had 30 days left and they take away 11 of them, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. So those are really important messages. Ask for your plan of care. Be your own best medical advocate. Don't fear the knowledge. Knowledge is power, and knowledge can bring comfort and quality to your life.
So it's interesting. You know, we can talk about how doctors handle it and explain why, and I completely understand every reason the doctors do the things they do, because in this case, we don't know what the response is going to be from the patient if we give them the bad information.
Right.
So it's really up to the patient to be willing to take that information, as good or bad as it is, just to be better informed. And that's why you need to have that conversation with your doctor. Don't leave it in their hands to make a decision based upon the general public or based upon a protocol. Go ahead and be your own best medical advocate. Ask a doctor specifically. Get him to tell you the truth. And once you have that truth, then you have the ability to work within that and come up with a better plan.
And if you're not sure you want to know the answers, you know, right away, have a loved one, a family member that asks those questions for you. But ask the questions. You're entitled to your medical records. Get them. But one of the things you asked, or the question that you asked, was how do we know if we're getting close? I kind of think you should ask well before a major medical issue arises, but definitely once a medical issue arises.
Right. So let me see if I can answer your question in two parts. Okay. One, we can look at decline, right? Because that's an issue. If we or our parents or our grandparents are not able to do the things that they used to be able to do, and we can see a decline over the last 6 months, and they've been to the doctor, and there hasn't been anything that's been offered to change that, then we have to assume that that's going to continue. Okay, so decline is one of those things. Over the last year, over the last 6 months, if they are less and less capable of doing things, if they're, the conversations have changed a little bit, the ability for them to communicate has changed, those are pretty obvious. If they have very specific medical needs, if now they're in a position where they have lots of issues that they have to deal with, then that also is an indicator. But the other part, and let's go to the age side. You know, when's a good age? Well, the truth is that 65 is probably a time when you should know. If you, at the age of 65 or as approach 65, don't know everything you might need in the future, and let's define what that future is. They say that the median age in the United States is 78. Okay, so that means from 65.
Oh, that's scary. I'm so close.
So from 65 to 78, that's 13 years. Half of the people that are in that are probably going to be passing away. And so being prepared now is a good idea. So once you get to 65, yes, you should absolutely have a good idea of what hospice is, especially if you don't have a real particular need for it. Because in truth, if you don't know anything about hospice and you wait for somebody to recommend hospice to you, you're not going to be in as good a position, a good estate to be able to assess and determine what your needs are. And those needs are going to be very limited. So that's really important. Now, if we get to the age of 65, because some people will pass away before that, if we get to the age of 65, then our median age increases to 82. Okay?
Wow.
So we still have quite a few people that are going to be passing away, and we need to be better prepared for that. If you get past that, if you're at 80, you might make it to 88.
Wow.
But if we visualize this progression, we realize that we are all going to be at that end at some point.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, and we're just going to keep getting closer and closer to whatever our end date is. So the sooner we understand it, the better. The sooner we find out if there's something that can be provided in some kind of care that makes our life better at any level, we're better off knowing about it.
Clearly, statisticians have done a lot of studies, too.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. I love stats, though.
Right.
To me, it qualifies or quantifies, I guess, all these little things, like you were saying with the, you know, the life, living life longer, not just better, but longer as well, if you have hospice and palliative care. So I love that. Now, say we get to this point, okay, we've decided, all right, we are probably going to need this. What are some of the things that we should be doing that will help?
Okay, so if we decide today that we want to have a better life, okay, and that's really what we should be focusing on, making a decision about palliative care may be that option. But if we're not ready for hospice or palliative care quite yet, there are still things we can do. And that is, first, just focus on making good decisions and living a better life. The life that you wish you were living anyway, don't put that off any longer.
Right.
You know, let's all just decide.
Someone wrote a song about that.
You're going to sing for us, Kaylee? No singing. Okay.
Make it happen today. And when it comes to, you know, finding that joy, find it for yourself. Help other people. You know, give people an opportunity to help you, because we all enjoy ourselves better when we are really working together towards a common goal. And I find so many people, you know, that have grown up being that rock and that, you know, example, and still expecting to be able to do for things for themselves. And then they can't. You know, some of those things they just can't do anymore. You may not be able to chop down a tree at the age of 78.
I'm 54. I can't do that anymore either.
Right. And if you needed a tree chopped down, then you have to be willing to allow somebody to help you.
Mm-hmm. But okay? Andy, you said, how do you manage your end-of-life circumstances? That's a daunting question, but even more than that, it's dynamic. Everybody's so different.
Oh,
what's
very
gonna
true.
Be important to you may not have any importance to me whatsoever. That is actually what I love about our palliative care program. Our palliative care program has a number of things written into it to offer suggestions for people so that as we talk about what's important to them, and we ask those poignant questions, we can find out what really is going to bring them, that individual and that family, the best quality of life. We told a story about a family whose wife was the homemaker and took care of all the household responsibilities, and the husband went out to work and provided the household income and paid the bills. And she found herself, she was the one that was passing, and her anxiety was about how he was going to take care of himself. Right. We were able to come in and eliminate some of those stresses for her by helping him learn to manage his household abilities to
and prove to her that he was going to be able to do it. And once he proved himself, then she said, okay, it'll be okay.
And she is still around today, and he makes her dinner every night.
No, that's
and they
sweet.
Are enjoying a beautiful relationship together. And I laugh about how she said to me, oh, I should have taught him to cook 20 years ago. He's making me dinner every night, doing the dishes. I thought, I need to go home and teach my husband to cook for me.
Yeah.
Right. My dad is 84. I had never until the last year seen him do laundry or cook a meal, ever. Not in 80, well, my 54 years of life. And guess what he's doing now?
Yeah.
He's doing all that stuff. So.
And, you know, those are great things. I'm a big believer that work is the fountain of youth. You
know,
we stay active and doing things, we're more likely to continue than if we don't.
Tip to the husbands out there, if you cook meals for your wife, clean the dishes, do laundry, that says, I love you, honey.
I'm in trouble. No, I actually cook every night, so I'm the family cook.
But.
So on the get help part, certainly for those things that you can allow other people to do for you, allow them to do it. But when it comes to the medical part of it, why not bring an entire team of people to your home to provide that medical care instead of trying to organize and, you know, getting to a doctor for at 15:30
to help you figure it all out.
Sit in a waiting room with a bunch of people that are coughing and stuff like that. Yeah,
right. So
but to
all
have people
things.
That know how to ask the right questions, how to help you put your thoughts together, how do you to help you accept and digest your future. That's what you're looking for, and that's why we're here. Give our office a call. 435-477-6999. We really are here to help. We want to help you navigate this path of a new life or a new...
And make it the best experience possible. If you can eliminate some things that are stressing you, and as a caregiver, and this is, we can't say enough about the caregivers that, you know, because when you are that caregiver, it is a full-time job. You know, not only have you already been doing all the things you've done in life, but now you have this obligation. Well, that's hard on them. But if we can come in and help eliminate some of the stresses that contribute to that, then you have an opportunity to start looking for some good experiences, some memories and some opportunities to have conversations that you would have missed if all you were doing was spending your time working on.
By the way, we take care of your loved ones even after you pass. So we are a long-term committed partner in your new reality.
Awesome. Now we're talking with Pathway. You guys, it's National Nurses Day today, and I thought maybe take this last minute and talk about your nurses and how important they are to you.
We love our nurses. And I've said it before, at this time of COVID, of course, we're all recognizing the important role that nurses play. Nurses, you don't choose that career path if you aren't compassionate and have a desire to help. But hospice and palliative care nurses, they're extra special. I just want to say that anyone who goes into the industry of hospice care as a nurse has a special, special place in their heart for, you know, being compassionate and empathetic. You wouldn't choose that career path if you weren't a special individual.
And then the best of those have chosen to come work with us. So we really feel privileged to work with the nurses that we have that really do have a great medical background and a lot of history, but they also have that compassion and love for their patients.
A love for their career.
So awesome. All right. Thanks for coming in today. Again, it's Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Your phone number real quick, one more time.
435-477-6999.
We hope to hear from you.
Richard and Kaylee, thank you so much.
Thanks.